Thank you, everyone, for being here. Good evening. Enjoy the nice weather while we have it. What I wanted to discuss today was, first of all, the level of importance, severity of reading the Megillah, and then particularly I want to talk about the question of why we read the Megillah twice. So we'll see more, talk a little bit more about why, how unusual that is, and if we can understand why we do it. But let's first start with just how severe is Megillah. Severe sounds like a strong word. Maybe there's a better word. What's the level of the chiyuv? So regularly, you know, the two levels of chiyuv which you could have. You could have something derabanan and something which is d'oraisa, something which is rabbinic, or something which is biblical. It's hard to understand what I'm saying. How could Megillah possibly be biblical if it's obviously doesn't exist until comes along, you know, Mordechai, Esther, etc. But let's see. We'll lay that out. So the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yudalet Amud Aleph, source 1, it says, Tan Rabban, Arbaim Ushmona Nevim, Vesheva Nevios Nisnabu Lahem Yisrael. There were 48 male prophets and 7 female prophets who prophesied to Klal Yisrael. V'lo Pichsu V'lo Hosiru Al-Mashikasu B'Torah. And they never added or subtracted anything of the Torah. They never added or subtracted to any of the mitzvos. Chutz Mimikra Megillah. The one exception is Mikra Megillah. Some Mepharshim say it doesn't just mean Megillah, it means also the other mitzvos of Purim. But the only thing which they added or subtracted was Megillah. Before I continue, any questions on that? There's something which should be missing. What else did they add or subtract? Chanukah, right? What happened to Chanukah? Ah, so Rashi asks what happened to Chanukah, and then Rashi says Chanukah actually was started after the period of the Nevi'im, so this is not, that's why Chanukah is left out. But okay, that was the back and forth in Rashi, which is not on your page. So my drush. So how could they change what's in the Torah? How could they add a mitzvah? What drusha did they have? So Amr Bichia bar Avin, Amr Yeshua ben Korcha, Umam Me'avdus Lecheirus Amin and Shira. If from when we went from slavery to freedom, we said Shira, meaning when we were freed from Mitzrayim, so we all sang Shira at the Yam Suf. So Mimisa Lechaim when Lo Kol Shekein. If going just from servitude to freedom, we say Shira. So certainly, when we go from death to life, we thought that we were all going to die, and then we're all going to live. It happens to, parenthetically, be an interesting Kal V'chomer, because right before they sang Shira in the Yam Suf, they also probably thought that they were going to die. But I guess the idea is that the reason, you know, their main issue, which we're celebrating, is the fact that we used to be slaves, and then we became free. So Kol Shekein, if we went from thinking that we were all going to die, and now we are all surviving at Purim, that we should sing Shira. Okay, so that's very nice. Ihachi halal nami neimas. Then why don't we say halal? Halal seems like the right thing to say, just like we say halal for Pesach, so shouldn't we say halal on Purim? But we don't do that. So Gemara has a few answers, but the one which is going to be relevant for us is Rav Nachman Amar Kriyasa Zu Hilila. That the reading of the Megillah is in itself a form of halal. When we read the Megillah, that in itself is a form of praise to HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, so what's your takeaway from this Gemara? What level of chiyuv is the mitzvah to read Megillah? It's not a trick question. Whatever you say, I'll let you know. You'll be right. But right, so it's like a mitzvah of halal. It's a mitzvah to praise God. I'd say probably the simplest understanding is that this is a mitzvah from the Nevi'im. Nevi'im are not the Torah. So the Nevi'im is you'd expect to be Durabanan. So the Rambam seems to say something like that. He says in source 2, he says, Kriyas HaMegillah Bizmana, reading the Megillah in its proper time, is a mitzvah asay midivrei sofrim. It's a positive commandment from midivrei sofrim, from the words of the scribes. That happens to be an ambiguous term in the Rambam. Sometimes it does mean midioraisa, but for the most part it means it's rabbinic. This is midivrei sofrim. In case you weren't sure, v'advarim yiduim shi takanas Nevi'im. And this is a takana, this is a, an enactment of the Nevi'im. Simple explanation is that this is Durabanan, and that's exactly probably what you would have expected before you walked into this room. Here's the problem. The Gemara in Megillah has a case which seems to break the normal rule which we'd expect. The Gemara says that there was, we'll read it, in Tiberia, Chizkiah, the Amora, the king, so Chizkiah would read on both the 14th and the 15th of Adar. Why are you doing that, right? What do we do regularly? 14th is for non-walled cities from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun, and 15th is for the walled cities from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun. So why is he reading on both days? So the Gemara says, Misafgale, because he was unsure, He was unsure, was this a place which was surrounded from the times of, with a wall from the times of Yoshua ben Nun, or not? So why is that surprising? Right, regularly we'd say, Safik Durban Lakula, you're not sure about something. So if something's Durabanan, so you should say, okay, so let's go Lakula, let's be Makel. What does that mean practically here? Does that mean to not do it at all? Would that mean just do it on the first day? I don't know, we can talk about that, the Rishonim discuss. But what you would not expect to be is that, okay, so read on both days. That seems to fit more of the paradigm of Safik Dioraisa Lachumr. Okay, good. So it's not clear, right? It just says he did it. So maybe he did it without a bracha. Okay, you're right. Right. There's no shame Hashem in the Megillah. That's very interesting. So maybe if you just skip the brachos, right, you're not risking anything. Maybe he was just doing it because what do you have to lose? So you might as well read both, even though that doesn't, he didn't necessarily have to. Yeah. Right, so they would read Megillah in Kfarim, in the small villages. They'd bring it to the Yom HaKnisa. They'd bring it back to the Thursday or Monday in order to read it in a day where they would all gather together. So what are you saying based on that? Okay, that's very interesting. So you're saying once there's a little bit of flexibility with the timing, so maybe he's like, let's do as much as we can, get some more Pursumei Nisa. Okay, so one could certainly say that. If you were to take the simplest explanation of this Gemara, though, the simplest explanation is that for some reason there's a Safik Dioraisa L'Chumra going on over here. Now, how do you possibly have Safik Dioraisa L'Chumra by Megillah, which is obviously enacted much later than when the Torah was written? How could that possibly be? So the Chosim Sofer addresses this question, and he has a big chiddush. But let's maybe just read inside. So he says, the halachus gedolos sirle kriyas halal dioraisa. The Behag's opinion, the halachus gedolos' opinion, is that in general, saying halal, let's say on Pesach, is a mitzvah dioraisa. Okay, that's halal. The hechzik biyadu Ramban b'sefer mitzvos, and the Ramban says he's right in the sefer mitzvos. Ve'rambam hisik halachus gedolos b'sharashim sham. Okay, and the Rambam disagrees. For another time, we can analyze that machlokas. Lefize, but according to the Behag and the Ramban, kevlin de'amrinam b'perek kama de Megillah, the anshe knesa gedol lamdu kal v'chomer, that we said in Megillah that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah learned it from a Kal V'Chomer. Hashta me'avdus l'cheiros armin an shir mi'misa l'chaim l'kol shekein. That if we're going to go and say Hallel when we went from freedom, from slavery to freedom, so kol shekein, certainly we should be saying Hallel when we go and when we go from death to life. So v'harei Kal V'Chomer d'yoraisi. He wanted the 13 midos when we say Rabbi Shmuel in the morning. So Rabbi Shmuel omer, shor samir sotan yishas behem. First one is b'Kal V'Chomer. Right? The first midah of how you darshan Dioraisa things is Kal V'Chomer. It seems they made a Kal V'Chomer over here. V'ator nitzna lidrosh be'yud gemol midos. Harei chiyuv ha'halo b'purim gam kein dioraisa. So halal on Purim is dioraisa, and the kriyasa zu hilila. We said that the reading of the halal actually serves as a form of halal. So says the Chosim Sofer, an enormous chiddush, but that's how he explains this Gemara. Reading Megillah on Purim is actually a mitzvah mideoraisa. Right, so that has enormous implications for everything. First of all, like Safik, this case over here. So that would mean you have to be machmir. Anytime you have a Safik, they have to go l'chumra. And some achronim, many achronim think that whether you need kavana when you do mitzvos is dependent on whether you think it's derabban or deoraisa. So it would mean that you need kavana. Our favorite nafkamina, we mentioned like every second shir over here, deoraisa derabbanan for the bar mitzvah boy. Can the bar mitzvah boy read the Megillah? So if you think it's Dioraisa, we say that we don't rely on bar mitzvah boys to go and read the Megillah unless they've got, a full beard, which most bar mitzvah boys do not have. According to this, a bar mitzvah boy would not be able to read Megillah. Hold off on that. So that's yeah.
In that way, about halal, though? Because, like, Chassam Sofer is even saying, like, this is that it's a machlok about halal. Like, how do we paskin about halal?
So good question. How do we paskin by halal? So the Netziv says this whole approach is not correct, and I don't know exactly how we paskin in like the Mishnah Berurah. I know Rav Shechter likes the Netziv, that we don't actually paskin like this Chassam Sofer. He thinks that we paskin like the Netziv, that halal's not deoraisa, at least in certain contexts. So,
because if halal is derabanan, then it's
right. If halal is derabanan, so then certainly this is derabanan. That's a very strong point. But okay, at least the Chasam Sofer says such a thing. What's the Ran's response? The Ran says a much simpler response. He says, nah, if you just jump to, we've got time. So, you know, all right, we'll start from the beginning. So this happens all the time in Eretz Yisrael. They have areas, many areas in Eretz Yisrael, where they're not sure was this walled or not walled. You ask the archaeologists, the answer might be one thing. You ask, you know, the people who are following their minhag, they've been hugging from hundreds of years. The answer is a different thing. What do you do when you're unsure if a place was walled since the times of Yehoshua bin Nun? So he says, Horu ha-ga'onim, the Gaonim paskind, Zal, Shaholchin b'henacha rov arayos. What do? You follow the majority. What are the majority of cities? Shiruban ena mukfas choma, mos Yehoshua bin Nun. Most of them are not walled since the times of Yehoshua bin Nun. V'korin b'hen b'yadal. So you just read on the 14th. The Ode, Shafilu tomar shu safik shakul. Even if there's a 50-50 safik, whether this place is or wasn't walled. Havile safik shal divrem ulakula. This whole mitzvah of Megillah, it's midrabanan. Every time there's a dirabanan, so you go lakula. It's very interesting. He understands anytime you have safik dirabanan lakula, so you wouldn't just get rid of the mitzvah entirely. How could we just get rid of a mitzvah? So he says you do it on the first day. You'd still do it on the first day, but you wouldn't do it on both days. So then he jumps. If we jump to jump a line later at the end of the line, that there are these places which would read on both days. Why would they do that? But midos chasidus hayuno agin kain. That wasn't the halacha. They were just, it's a midos chasidus. They were trying to say, okay, what do we have to lose? They did not say the brachos, I'm sure. They said, you know what, let's just be machmir. Let's read the Megillah twice. What do we have to lose? According to the Ran, it's only dirabanan. Again, huge nafkaminas for all those things which we mentioned. Those are the extreme shittos. Let me just give you the middle shittos, which we actually pass in like. The way that we actually pass in like is that there's this middle category called Divrei Kabbalah. Has anyone ever heard that? It's not like such a common used term. But it's a middle category called Divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah means something which is mentioned in the Nevi'im, which then turns into a mitzvah. So there's a whole, you know, it's not such a big list, but there's a few things which are included in that. And one of them, many Rishonim say, the Baal Ma'or, the Ramban, the Rashba, they say it's Divrei Kabbalah. Just as an aside, why is it called Divrei Kabbalah? Divrei Kabbalah means words which were a Masorah. So why is it called a Kabbalah? Just because Nevi'im said it. So Rashi says that in Malachi, he says that all, there's a Gemara which says that all Nevuos are really stemmed from what Moshe said, the Kabbalah which Moshe got at Har Sinai. So maybe it's like the Nevuos themselves, what the Nevi'im said is really sourced in the Masorah. And then there's a very interesting Shita Mikubetz in Bava Kama, which actually comes from the word Kivala, which I think might be Aramaic. I'm not sure, but it means to kabal is to go and complain. So what are the Nevi'im doing most of the time? They're yelling at everyone. They're saying, what are you guys doing? They're complaining. So it's Dibre Kabbalah. It's words of the complainers. But that's a less flattering term. So, yeah. Correct. Right. Rambam's language of Midivrei Sofrim, and he also spells out it's a Takanas Nevi'im, so that also seems to align with this category of Divrei Kabbalah. And what's the halacha by Divrei Kabbalah? So it's a whole machlokas, but the general opinion is that Divrei Kabbalah are Kedivrei Torah Dan. I give you one source. The Troy Evan holds this way by Megillah. He says, this explains the question to our whole question by Chizkiah. How come he was reading both days? And he says, "Mistaber li mikomakom, mistaber li divrei kabbalah kishal Torah adamia. Divrei kabbalah is like Torah. Usfeika lahachmir. On a suffix we go lachumra. Kevan de kel echad amaran. Since one God said them, meaning it's true the Nevi'im said it, but the Nevi'im got it from God. Mipia don kol ha'masim baruch hu. At the end of the day, it's from God. It's not a takana which someone just made up. Ein lachalik beinehem. B'davar zeh yizbar hadi ketiv makom achen. I'll explain everything out later on. So this is going to be very important because the way which we paskin, it is Divrei Kabbalah. That would mean that a bar mitzvah boy should not be reading the Megillah, probably, during Megillah reading. Because if we treat it like Divrei Torah, you might have seen differently. So maybe we'll get to that as we go further in the shir. Yeah?
What leniency does Divrei Kabbalah carry?
So good. Right. So the answer, according to the Turi Evin, is none. Divrei Kabbalah, it's true that they were said by the Nevi'im. But in terms of the fact that how we treat it as Dioraisa because it came from God, even if it's not God's word verbatim. What they said, the mitzvah they're giving, is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of the day, and so therefore it carries the full weight of Dioraisa.
Don't a lot of Bar Mitzvah boys
don't a lot of bar mitzvah boys lane the Megillah for laning? So good. So I want to make sure we get to that by the end of the laning and see if, and the conclusion of the shir, as always, will be ask Rabbi Taubes, but we'll get there shortly. Yeah. For Megillah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to have to defend them. So we'll,
Side question.
Yeah.
Yolk likes to do it where they split up Shir Hashir and Kohelet for the kids at Main Minion, and they have, like, young parents of boys do those Megillah. But, like, they don't really
Yeah, for sure. So if a bar mitzvah boy is going to go read Shir Hashirim or Koheles, so there's no, like, it's certainly not Midivrei Kabbalah, it's a minhag to go and, yes, I'm not saying cute, but it's allowed. It's certainly mutter. Fine. So hold all this in the back of your head. It's going to be very important for us. What I want to talk for a moment, not a moment, for the rest of this year, is why we read Megillah twice. If you think about it, it's really bizarre. Why? We have four mitzvahs of the day. We've got Megillah, we have Suda, Mishloach Manos, Matanos, Savyonim. We don't say Du Mishloach Manos and Matanos, Savyonim once at night and once during the day. So why is Megillah different? In fact, it's not just like internally within Adar, within Megillah, but every single mitzvah you can think of which relates to time, I think, someone can tell me if there's an exception to this, but any shofar, when do we do shofar? We do it once. In the daytime, whatever. Matzah, when do we do matzah? We do it once at night. That's true. Kriya Shema, we do both. That was a bad... Maybe that statement was a little too open. Any mitzvahs hayom, though, I'm saying... Any mitzvah which relates to the calendar. There's a specific, you know, mitzvah of this time period. So we always only do something one time, as far as I can think of.
I mean, Halal, that's probably the same that's going to go Megillah, I guess, maybe.
Oh, that's interesting. Halal on Friday, on the first night. Right, it is built into the Haggadah. Okay, so Hakafot is a minhag, but you're right that we do Hakafot at night and we do it during the day. It's not like Hakafot aren't like a mitzvah, you know. I'm not saying you shouldn't do Hakafot, but saying the way Chazal generally make takanos or mitzvos is that there's eating in a sukkah is you should eat in the sukkah. You have to have two meals. That's true, but I guess it's not a halacha in, you know. Do it once in the night and do it once in the day. It's Yom Tov requires two meals, and when you have Yom Tov meals, so you have to have them in the sukkah.
Isn't there a specific mitzvah to eat at night of sukkah the first night?
Correct. The first night of sukkah is different than the rest of it. So if you want to talk about sukkahs having a specific mitzvah, it's really just the first night. That's learned from Pesach, like Achilas Matzah, but it's not a night and a day thing. So Megillah is really, maybe there's a couple other things we could look at, but Megillah is strange. Why are we doing this both in the nighttime and during the daytime? Let's see. You know, requires explanation. So the Gemara basically asks this question, and it's a peculiar Gemara. The Gemara says in Source 7, the Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, that shorthand, Chayav Adam Likros es HaMegillah Belaila, V'lishnosa Bayom. So we have to go and read the Megillah at nighttime and to repeat it. That's the easiest translation of that word, Bayom, during the daytime. Shnei Amar, Elokai Akra Yomam V'lo Sane V'laila V'lo Dumyali. I call out to you, God, during the daytime, and you didn't answer at night, and I will not be silent. So this pasuk, which is not in the Megillah, it's in Tehillim, I believe. So okay, so you do something in the night, daytime, you do something in the nighttime.
But it's the parak of Tehillim that is sometimes attributed to Esther.
Right, it is the parak of Tehillim which is attributed to Megillah's Esther. So okay, so again, Tehillim, when assume, let's say David HaMelech, exactly how that works out. I ain't shall. So you'll figure that out. Right. Tehillim throughout has many authors clearly throughout. I don't know exactly what the story is with this Tehillim, but this pasuk in Tehillim is used by Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi to teach us, okay, you have to read it once in the day, once in the night. What's strange is the Gemara's continuation. So Savar Mina, people heard this, and they thought, what does he mean? Let me cry, Belel Yelu Misna Mas Nisin Didab Yamama. What must he have meant? Must have meant read it once at night, and then do the Mishnayis for what Lishnosa is a word which sometimes could be like Shinun, like Vishinantam, that you should go and learn something. It also means to repeat. So he first heard this, and he thought he meant you should say it, and you should also learn it. So read the Megillah, and also learn the Mishnahs. Okay? So that's what they thought you're supposed to do. No. I got the correct explanation. Let me tell you what he really meant. He was saying, is the same way people say, I'm going to learn the Parsha and repeat it. So he was using the word for repeat. Okay, so he said to do it twice. Itmar nami amr bichalba amr ula bira chayav adam likros a megillah belayla lishnos a biyom shnemar leman zamecha chavur la yidom Hashem lo kailam odeka, that in order that I should praise you, the word chavud, I looked on Safari, has like four translations: my soul, my liver, my glory. A lot of different mepharshim exactly what the word chavud is. Kaved, okay, that tzarachin, or maybe that's a bad translation someone has, I'm not sure. V'lo yidom, and I won't be silent. Hashem elokai lo modeka. So not only won't I be silent, but also I'm going to forever praise you. Okay, so a little bit strange. We got different pesukim in Tehillim. People seem to be misunderstanding exactly why what we're doing. So what exactly is going on? I'll just tell you something from the Rav shortly. It's also strange. Why do you have two different pesukim for the same idea? So the Rav had just a nice idea. He said that the Megillah is both a shevach. It's both a praise and a tefillah. Every time we read the Megillah, we're both saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you so much. It has that aspect of Hallel. And it's also, it's a Pirsume Nisa. Every time we do Pirsume Nisa, the Rav thought that what we're doing is we're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same way you did Nisim back then for our people, so please continue to do Nisim for us today. So he explained that L'man Yizamer Chavod is saying that I'm going to Lizamer is to go and praise you. I'm trying to go and praise you. And the other one is Elokai, etc. I'm not going to be silent. I'm going to call out to you. So that's a reference to the tefillah aspect of Megillah. Okay, fine. What we're going to see, though, is that there seems to be some sort of distinction between the nighttime reading of the Megillah and the daytime reading of the Megillah. And that distinction is made most clear from the Mishnah in Megillah. And this is like really a shocking Mishnah. If you look at the Mishnah in Source 8, the Mishnah goes through every single mitzvah which you could do just during daytime, and every single mitzvah which you could do just during nighttime. There might be a couple exceptions, but it's like got a long list. I didn't give you the whole daytime list. But the Mishnah in Megillah says, Kol hayom kosher l'kriyas ha-Megillah. Entire daytime is kosher, is a proper time to go and say, to do the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. U'l'kriyas ha-Halal, and for reading Halal in general, u'l'kriyas ha-Shofar, and for blowing Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, l'tilas lulav, and taking a lulav, l'tilas ha-Musafin, u'musafin, and to go and pray the Musaf prayer, and to go and offer the Korban Musaf, etc., etc., etc. There's a whole long list continuing. I gave you the full list of the Kol HaLaila, the entire night. Which mitzvahs would you expect to be there? So I'll tell you one of them I would have expected to be there. I would have expected Megillah to be there, because you can also read the Megillah at nighttime. Kol HaLaila Kasher, Lik Tziras HaOmer, for reaping the harvest for the Korban Omer, Lehekter Chalavim Ve'Evarim, and for burning fats from the Mizbeach, Zeh HaKlal, Davar Shemitzvasu Be'yom Kasher Kol Hayom, Davar Shemitzvasu Belayla Kasher Kol HaLaila. So, where's Megillah? What? Right. So we have a daytime Megillah, but what happened to the nighttime Megillah in this Mishnah? It's just totally left out. So Ashkenazim have a very, also another unique minhag. At which reading do we say Shechianu for Mikra Megillah? Yeah, that was a trick question, right? So we say Shechianu at both readings. Sfardim, we have our token Sfardi for this year. I believe that they only say the first one. Is that correct? At night. They only say that. It makes a lot of sense. Why? Anytime you have a mitzvah, so you say Shechianu once. We don't say, oh, we went to sukkah today, let's on Chol HaMoed keep on saying Shechianu. Like, you do a mitzvah once.
No, second day.
Right, that wasn't a good example, because the second day, maybe the first day wasn't really the mitzvah, so the second day we have to go and act as if maybe this is...
Sorry.
Yeah.
Then maybe that's what the issue is with doing mitzvah twice, that we're not sure why to actually do the mitzvah.
Okay, so that would be surprising. I mean, we don't know if the mitzvah is the daytime or the nighttime, you're saying.
Yeah.
So the Mishnah says to do it in the daytime. I mean, it's clear there is a mitzvah during the daytime so far. I guess why wouldn't we know that it should be during the daytime?
But in that case, it could just simply be that we're not sure whether or not there's a mitzvah at night, in which case,
it's like one long mitzvah. Read it twice. Then you still expect one Shechianu before one long mitzvah.
Well, the Shechianu that you're saying is what you're saying. The idea is that it's including everything the next day, not just the reading, but all the mitzvahs.
Right, you're saying we say that it's Shechianu, you're reading during Kriyas Megillah. Right.
Make sure you
have those other things in mind. So those other things you have in mind is still, the reason we do that is because we're not sure why didn't those ones get a Shechianu. But we're making the bracha right before Megillah reading. We're not doing it before those other mitzvahs. So it's a strange practice which we have. It's very... We do the same on Rosh Hashanah. Right, so we do the same for the one day, 2 day thing. Because of Sveka Dioma. I mean, because we have to treat it as if we're not sure if the first day or the second day was the mitzvah, so we'll say a Shechianu. Right, so then maybe you should have a beged, so because it's all Yom Arichta, it gets fun. But within one day, you don't see that anywhere else. Now, part of the issue is that within one day, we don't have too many mitzvahs which repeat themselves. That's a very interesting suggestion. Okay, so let's get to that. Good. So maybe the first day and the first night and the second day aren't, the first night and the daytime aren't exactly the same mitzvah. So says the Rosh. Our minhag comes from Rabbeinu Tam. So Haya Omer Rabbeinu Tam Zal, Afal Pi Shabirich Zman Belayla, Chozim Varich Zman Af Beyom. Even if you already make a Shechianu at nighttime, you still have to make a Shechianu during the daytime. Why? De ikra kriyasa havi biyom yoser mi balayla. Says Rabbeinu Tam, the real main reading, that's the daytime reading. And he goes on, he's going to go give four proofs for why that is. I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure I understand his first one. So if anyone can help me out with that, that'd be great. Dehachi mashma lishna dekra. He says, first proof is the language of the pasuk seems to imply that way. Ekra yomam af alpisha layla lo dum yali. So the pasuk says again, if we go back to what the limud is, it's Elokai, ekra yomam velo sane. I call out during the day and you don't answer. Velayla velo dum yali. And night, and I won't be silent. So the way the Rosh reads it is, I'm calling out during the daytime because you didn't answer at night. Meaning the daytime somehow is the beginning of the pasuk because that's the more significant one. I don't have a full grasp of how that, what exactly that proof is, but he thinks that the pasuk itself lends itself to that idea. B'yom tei ikra hakriya. So that tells you that that is the daytime is your main reading. V'gam ikra pursuing nisahu b'yom. B'zman mishtiv simcha matanas levyoni mishloach manos. He's got another point, which is very simple. The daytime seems to be when we do all the other pursuing nisa stuff, the other mitzvahs of the day. We do mishloach manos and matanas levyonim and the su'udah then. So the daytime would seem to be the more logical place to put a mikra megillah. Utznan lekaman, and another proof. Kol hayom kashu lekrosis ha-megillah. So he picks up on the Mishnah. The Mishnah only mentioned the daytime reading. It doesn't mention the nighttime reading. It must be that there's more significance to the daytime reading than to the nighttime reading. And Lefisha Eina Iker Kriya Balayla, because the main reading is not at night. And then he has another proof, but we can hold off on it. So the Rosh and Rabbeinu Tam and the Ashkenazim basically say that the nighttime reading is less important. It's the one which is less significant, which is why somehow that's mashma in the psukim, and maybe that's what's going on in the Mishnah, which is why we say Shechianu first, okay, because that's one mitzvah. But then when we do a higher level mitzvah the next day, so in a certain sense, this next mitzvah, which we do during the daytime, isn't the same mitzvah. It's a higher quality mitzvah. And for that reason, says Rabbeinu Tam, we should say a Shechianu on that mitzvah as well, because there's something new, there's some hitzchadshus behind that second performance of the same mitzvah. Yashan. So the question was, do we know that they always read Megillah twice, or was that something which potentially evolved later? So that leads us into the very next source. That's fantastic. So it says the next source. If you look at the Tosefta, this is not just what I'm about to say. The main idea is from the Binyan Shlomo. The Binyan Shlomo was the Av based in Vilna, who died in 1905. But believe it or not, what he points out is there's no source in all of Tanaitic literature which mentions a nighttime reading. Anytime in the Tanaim, in the times of the Mishnayos, Brisos, Toseftos, there's nothing which ever mentions that we read at night. The first reference of it is this Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi, who says, okay, don't forget that we have to read, daytime and nighttime. And he points out that Toseftos says the exact opposite. Toseftos says, Kara Balayla, if you read the Megillah at night, Lo Yatza Yidei Chovasa, you have not fulfilled your mitzvah of Megillah. That's all it says. It doesn't say for the daytime reading. It just says, you're not Yotze if you read the Megillah at night. So it sure sounds like this nighttime reading, it would be strange if the Tosefta was saying, during the day, for the daytime reading, if you read at night, you're not Yotze. It would seem, says the Binyan Shlomo, and the Soloveitchik was very fond of saying this, but that it did not exist in the times of the Mishnahs. And says the Rav, not says the Binyan Shlomo first, but the Rav liked it, that it's possible to say that the nighttime reading didn't exist until Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi came along. Until Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi came along, everyone was only reading during the daytime. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, guys, we got to read this in the nighttime also. And when he said that, everyone was confused. And they said, you mean we got to learn the Mishnayos? And he said, no. We got to do the nighttime and we got to do the daytime. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi then starts this new reading at nighttime, which we were never doing before, so that now we would have a nighttime reading on top of the daytime reading of Kriyas Megillah, which we had. I just want to, and maybe that's, you know, that's what's going on, like we said in the Mishnayos, and that explains a little bit more why we might say a Shechianu. It's not exactly what Rabbeinu Tam said, but it really makes sense to make a Shechianu in the second one, because the second one then is the real McCoy, and the first one we're doing at night, that's like a much, much later enactment of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And so... Right, so why... Well, good. So I want to get to that. I mean, I'm going to leave that for the end of the show, but why is he making up this enactment? It's a very, very important question. Like, okay, let's just do this, right? Say again? This is the... That's very good. So right. Right. So Rosh Hashanah is Yom Tov, just for the recorder. So what Shani just mentioned is that if it weren't for Megillah reading at night, you wouldn't have any sort of recognition of Purim at night whatsoever. There's no Yom Tov, which we're doing, and there's no mitzvah. There's Al Anisim. That's a good point. Okay. I was liking where that was going. So maybe we'll hold off on that. We'll figure out if... Okay, so it's interesting because the nighttime one is less convenient than the daytime one. Meaning they have like a Yom HaKnisa, which is the last proof, which I didn't really mention. But like people would gather during the daytime to go in for the places which didn't have enough space. I'll tell you what the Rav Soloveitchik argues is, what his goal was, and we're going to add a little more to this hopefully at the end, but his goal was so that you'll have a better understanding of the Megillah the next day. If you hear it once, you haven't heard it in a year, it's nice to first hear it, and then the next day you're able to really, you know, focus, get a deeper understanding of what's going on. Yeah, I'll take a question, then I'll just point out, you know, a little more about this.
Can it maybe be that he's interpreting the same pasuk that the Rosh was going into differently? That he's taking that pasuk and saying that both Yom and Lila were important for Mikra Megillah?
Say again, meaning you're saying...
So the pasuk that the Rosh said, and he right. said that Yom is more chashuv than
right.
Lila. Maybe the whole impetus behind starting that is that he's taking that same pasuk and saying, no, Yom's not really that much more chashuv than Lila. You need both, because that pasuk has both Yom and Lila.
You're saying he's adding chashivas to the nighttime, right? Didn't exist beforehand. I mean, they weren't reading then until his time.
Yeah, he's saying that he thinks
that. So you got to appreciate the nighttime of Purim. Appreciate it also. Yeah. Right, traveling at night is not so simple,
and
for
sure. Also lighting,
like we have. Right, they don't have electricity. It's certainly more of a tircha to go and do a nighttime mitzvah. Right.
So
right.
Different.
Point well taken, yeah.
The other thing is that it goes very well to say that Megillah is also a tefillah, and that's why we want to Hashem to do the same thing for us. Therefore, it's good to repeat it twice.
Oh, you're saying if Megillah is a tefillah, so it makes sense, you know, let's try and get in as many tefillahs for Nisim as we can. I like that. That's very nice. That fits very nicely. So I'll just...
Another example.
Yeah.
Granted, they have different statuses.
Right. Midi O'Raisa, it's only the nighttime, and then Chas HaChamim added a daytime, but that's a good... Kiddush is a good example of a daytime-nighttime, parallel. So I'll just tell you, so Halacha L'mais, it's very, very important, this idea. Rav Soloveitchik and the Binyan Shlomo said in a very extreme sense that it was started all the way since Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Others agree that it was enacted later, just not as clear that it was that much later. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah says this point blank, he says... The daytime reading is really the one which is Midivrei Kabbalah, and the nighttime reading is Midrabban. That's the accepted psak in Shulchan Aruch. Anytime you have a suffix, so by the nighttime reading you can go Lekula, all sorts of little minor, technical nafkaminas for that. The daytime one we go Lechumah. The big nafkamina, if you're going to be machmir for the bar mitzvah boy, is when can a bar mitzvah boy read any Megillah reading? So my chavrusa, Meir Finkelstein, I think he's gotten a couple shout-outs because he had his bar mitzvah in Adar, so everything worked out very nicely. But he wanted to go and lay in the Megillah, so he asked Rav Willig, and Rav Willig said you can read the nighttime Megillah reading, but you cannot read the daytime Megillah reading, because for Derabbanans we rely on bar mitzvah boys. For Midirei Kabbalah like the Oraisas, we do not. There are those who think even during the daytime, I'll just put this out there, there are those who think that even during the daytime you could have a bar mitzvah boy read it. They're not so sure, is it really Divrei Kabbalah? There's others who say it's Derabbanan. And even within Divrei Kabbalah, some Achronim think even Midirei Kabbalah goes Lekula, not Lechumra. So if you're in a place where they let a bar mitzvah boy read, you know, during the daytime reading also, don't worry about it. I think Rav Schechter's Mekel on that question. But certainly there's a lot of room to be more machmir during the day. Yeah? So I didn't look into this so much, but I did see when I was looking into it that we say women's chiyuv is lishmoa mikra megillah. I don't want to say something wrong. My recollection is that many are more mekel for women to hear from a bar mitzvah boy than for men, because I think there are rishonim who say that their chiyuv is not midirei kabbalah, but is midirabanan. Right, specifically because we use afein hayugyoso anes, meaning afein hayugyoso anes might create a, can only create a derabanan chiyuv, it can't create a higher level chiyuv. Afein hayugyoso anes we only ever use for Megillah, for Dalet Kosos, Chanukah, all derabanan mitzvah. So certainly Rishonim say it can't create any chiyuv higher than a derabanan. Again, ask Rabbi Taubis for... Right, but the bar mitzvah boy, if you're going to be machmir Divrei Kabbalah, so he isn't necessarily considered an adult.
Correct, but then a woman.
Right, women would be exactly the same. Right, so if you think Afein Hayugyoso Anes just sticks them in the same category as whatever it was for the men, so then you should be just as machmir. There are Rishonim who think not to do that, which is why some are more makel for women to hear from bar mitzvah boy. Again, some poskim think anyways a bar mitzvah boy could always read. Well, take one more comment, then I'll just tell you an idea I had, and we'll open up for questions. Yeah.
Regarding bar mitzvah boy, when is that overproof? Who can read Megillah? What is not a bar mitzvah boy? Why can't I don't understand the whole.
Sorry, that's I shouldn't have done that. I referenced something I said in an earlier shiur. By a bar mitzvah boy, so it, once a boy becomes 13 and a girl becomes 12, so they're considered an adult, but in order to be certainly an adult, they not only have to have that age, they also have to have simanim of an adult. They have to have physical signs of puberty. So we don't ever check for physical signs of puberty. And we just say, if you're 13, that's good enough. If you're 12, that's good enough. The rule is that assumption that you probably have reached puberty is only true for derabanans. It's not true for deoraisas. So if you have something which we're going to treat as a deoraisa, we won't rely on a bar mitzvah boy who we aren't sure has gone through puberty until... So there's signs which relate to hair on facial hair and other hair to go and figure that out. But certainly once someone's growing a mustache, so you don't need to worry about it. Not for the recorder. Fine, very good. So I'll just tell you one idea I had. I was thinking the big question with this whole approach is what was Rabbi Shulben Ben Levi doing? So maybe it was to add to tefillah. Maybe it was, okay, it's nice to have a better understanding of Megillah reading, but like, I don't know, no one said, like, let's do Rosh Hashanah blowing, you know, the night of, so that we appreciate Rosh Hashanah more the next day. So I was thinking this is, you know, you can take it or leave it. But the whole Megillah story is one where each and every piece, you're going along the story, and you're like, okay, Vashti died, and now there's a new queen, and, you know, and Ahasuerus is having trouble sleeping, and Mordechai saves some people. Like, you have all these disparate, random pieces of information. And at the very, very end, everything you see how all those little pieces actually led to the Geula, it's what led to the Purim story working out the way it was. So in a certain sense, if you come into the Megillah and you're just looking at it and you're reading, now we happen to remember it from last year because, you know, we studied the Megillah, but if you come in and you don't yet appreciate the end of the story, it's very easy to miss an appreciation for why each step along the way is significant. So maybe what we're trying to do is we're trying, what Shulben Levi said, let's come into the Megillah reading knowing what the end of the story is. The end of the story is, you know, every single one of these pieces is so important, and then when you read it the next day, now you're going to appreciate it. Oh, this led to this, led to this. And you're going to see the Nisim Yisrael, you're going to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind the Megillah, despite that his name is never written, the HaMelech you know, becomes emphasized that Hashem was really running the show the whole way once we have that perspective going in. Okay, so I'll open up for questions.